In our study of oscillating systems, we shall come to use one of the most remarkable, most astounding formulas in all of mathematics. From the physicist's point of view, we could just give you this formula in 2 minutes or so and be done with it and go on. But the sciences are as much for intellectual enjoyment as they are for practical utility. So instead of just spending a few minutes on this amazing thing, I can't just give you such a jewel in such a short time. I want to surround the jewel in its proper place. And so I wish to spend an entire lecture to put this formula in its proper place in the grand design of mathematics, or rather in that specific branch of mathematics which is called elementary algebra. Now you say, what is the mathematics doing in a physics lecture? Well, I have several excuses for it. First, of course, mathematics is a great tool. But that would only excuse me to give you the formula in 2 minutes. On the other hand, in theoretical physics, we discover all our laws are written in mathematical form and a certain simplicity and beauty about the mathematics. And so ultimately, to understand the nature, it may be necessary to have a deeper understanding of the mathematical relationships. I don't know. But the real reason is that I enjoy the subject. I think that although we've cut nature up in different ways and we have different courses in different departments, that's really artificial, and that we should take our intellectual pleasures where we find them. Now you say, this can go on forever. All right, he'll define powers of imaginaries and all this. And when you're all done, somebody will come along with another equation that can't be solved. X to the 6th plus 3x squared is equal to minus 2 is impossible now. And then comes a miracle. It's not true. It turns out that with one more invention, just the square root of minus 1, every equation can be solved. This is a fantastic thing, and we leave to the mathematics department the discussions of the proofs, which are very beautiful and very interesting. It's not self-evident. In fact, the most obvious suggestion is that you're just going crazy. You're going to have to invent again and again and again. But the miracle of it all is that you do not, that this is the last invention. After this invention of complex numbers and the assumption that all this works with complex numbers, you are finished inventing new things. You can find the complex power of any complex number. You can solve any equation that's written algebraically in terms of a finite number of symbols. You don't find any new numbers. Like the square root of I, for instance, has a definite result and not something new. And I to the I is something, and so on. So we have now to discuss that. I can't prove this fact to you, and I'm not going to try to prove it, but I just state that remarkable result. So don't get worried, this is the last invention. So you see that we have created, in a purely algebraic manner, by continuing the analysis and the generalization of the powers, we've created two new functions, the cosine and the sine, which belong to algebra and only algebra. And we wake up at the end to discover the very functions which are natural to geometry. So that is the connection in the end between algebra and geometry. So I summarize my lecture with this, the most remarkable formula in mathematics, that e to the I theta is cosine theta plus I sine theta. And to relate to geometry and algebra, here is a plane. The horizontal position of a point is x. The vertical position of a point is y. I will represent every complex number by a point on the plane, in which the x and the y locations belong to the complex number x plus iy. Then if the radial distance of this point is called r and the angle is called theta, then the algebraic law is that x plus iy is written in the form r e to the I theta, where the geometrical relations between x, y, r, and theta are there. This then is the unification of the algebra and the geometry. I always felt rather frustrated when I learned mathematics in school. I learned algebra, and I learned geometry, and I learned them almost to the point where the beautiful interconnection between the two could be demonstrated, but nobody ever showed it to me. So I want to show you that if you follow logically the problems of algebra, that you discover the sine and the cosine and pi and e all by taking 10 successive square roots of 10. Thank you.